Afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Monday, July 10th, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I have with me my regular Monday co-host, a Northern Irishman broadcasting from London proper, Mr. Paul Edward Stevenson. Paul, how you doing today, brother?
Good to be with you, Richard. I'm doing fine. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good to get the week started here. And, trying to stay positive in the face of all this tyranny, you know, we're continually up against. I noticed an update on the whole climate scam. With the livestock over in Ireland there, Irish farmers are outraged. The government's moving to cull 200,000 healthy cows to meet climate goals. That would be 10% of the cows of Ireland. It's just madness.
Yeah, it is madness. And, talking about, farmers, probably the most famous situation with farmers is over here is in this across the pond is in Holland in the Netherlands, and the Dutch government and parliament are in complete disarray, and this is largely over immigration and this situation with the farmers, because essentially what they're asking the farmers to do is basically we're going to make you exchange your farmland and your crops and your livelihoods for more immigrants, because that's what they're apparently going to use the land for that they're buying off the farmers to house more immigrants. So we're going to swap your crops, your livelihood, your economy, I guess, for the most part. In Holland's a huge part of the economy, even though it's a fairly small country. They have a huge agricultural output. So that's essentially what they're asking them to do, is to, trade your output of crops, your livelihood, and your, the economy of Holland for more Africans and Arabs, basically, to come and live there, because that's apparently what they're going to do. They're going to use that land to build homes for more immigrants. So the Dutch are quite rightly up in arms about this, and it's caused a collapse of the Dutch government. I only found out about that late last night, but that is the word that I'm reading, which has been used. So I hope I'm not being too dramatic about it, but that's the situation in Hull. And then, of course, the Irish need to get with it as well, because this is audacity on steroids, Richard. And if we can't take a stand with this type of stuff now, then we're all doomed, because a lot of this sort of stuff is almost irreversible.
Very true. It really is already at that point in a lot of places or near it, arguably. But there's only so much. These people, I mean, it's a cult for them, the pseudoscience that they don't question of the green agenda. It's kind of like with the COVID thing you saw. You don't question science anymore, and of course it's all driven by profit and there's no real science.
And of course, most of this is focused on, you know, again, the white European countries, which are already extremely environmentally conscious. You know, I forget where I saw it, but over the weekend I saw, I think it was in India somewhere, this river, which has basically caused any wildlife there to be killed, even attempting to swim in it. This thing is disgusting. The people just literally throw in their empty cans, fuel, all sorts. I mean, this was a complete and utter abomination of a river, completely destroyed. And rather than actually thinking this is a complete mess, we need to sort this, they just look at it and they think it's so bad now. Well, why do we care? So people just literally throw their rubbish in this river and they've destroyed it completely. And, you know, we also have a hugely depleted industrial base. So we're not a threat to the environment, even if their nonsense was true. You know, we're not guilty of it. But again, the attacks always on the white European nations, whether it's through mass immigration, this, you know, the deindustrialization, you know, the increased sort of, I guess, communization of the West, whatever it is, it's always focused on the white European countries. But yeah, we're not a threat to, even if you accepted their nonsense, we're not guilty of this. It's almost impossible for us because we're so, you know, we're such small countries and we don't have the industrial base to do it.
And it is curious how much they have it conveniently fit their Kalergi plan. But beyond that, I mean, they don't want people to have any alternatives for their new digitized technocracy with the social credit scores and what have you. I mean, they want, of course, to trend away from people owning private land, even having the idea of owning your own vehicle, but certainly the private land and the farming, because if you can
yeah.
If you can say no to their system and get food and have land, then they'd have no power over the masses. And that, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean when I say the communization of it, because it basically it's stripping you of ownership and your own means of production. So one way or another, the state is going to control the means of production and essentially control what you do and control what you're able to do and how you're able to make a living or otherwise. And then when you bring in the likes of the potential for, you know, CBDCs, on top of that, well, how is this any different? This is actually worse than the Soviet Union. You know, because they didn't have the technology at that point to basically switch you off. You're seeing this over here with Nigel Farage. They've, I think I mentioned it maybe on Friday or my own show on Saturday, but Nigel Farage has had his bank account closed by a big bank called Coutts, and he's unable to get a bank account. And so I'm glad they've picked him, because it's okay picking on a couple of small guys from Patriotic Alternative or other people in smaller groups with YouTube channels or Odyssey channels who are not, you know, towing the line, who don't have such a profile or, you know, the means to fight it. But they've done this to Nigel Farage, and this has opened a whole can of worms, and it's going to backfire. So that's good news. I mean, I don't wish Nigel any harm, and it's a horrible thing not getting a bank account, but hopefully, you know, he'll get sorted because, he, you know, he's a reasonably wealthy guy. And so they've picked on Nigel, and he's tried to get 6 solar bank accounts, and he can't get a bank account.
And is he openly pro-British? You know, I mean, an ethnic nationalist, if you will.
Yeah. Descended from, ironically, I suppose you could say, he descended from when we had the, and this is a standout. A standout event in the demographics of these islands when you had something like 50,000 French Huguenots came over here in the 14th century or something. He's a descendant from those guys, Nigel Farage, you know?
Yes, I know. I mean, and he still to this day has not been candid about his views. I mean, not so much on the racial angle, but it reminds me of the sort of debates we're hearing over here right now with RFK Jr. It doesn't seem like he's all that aware of most of these agendas, though, other than the vaccine and health corruption, you know?
Yeah, and he's anti-war.
I heard a threat that he would censor people who did not abide by the green agenda and climate change agendas. So, I mean, that's just one example. And, I mean, certainly he's not a racially motivated to stick up for white people or, I don't know, but anyway.
Well, I think you're going to see that change, because I've started to notice the rhetoric over here from people like Farage are in that category of sort of centrist type, sort of center-right characters. People like Douglas Murray and those kind of guys, I read out an article of his, but I've noticed these guys who are starting to talk a lot more about, you know, they're always sort of dragging behind the likes of us, you know. So eventually they do start talking about the attacks on white people and start defending it. Sadly, there's always this kind of narrative, but even that's changing, where you get these morons, and sadly there's a lot of them, who acknowledge that there's an attack on white people, and then they frame it with, and we better be careful, because we're going to wake up too many of these white people and make them know they're white, and before you know it, there is going to be a racist problem. You know, usually the way it's framed is this will exacerbate, not create, but exacerbate this already existing problem of white supremacy, which is white supremacy. It's kind of nebulous thing. It's like a some sort of like dangerous little misty morning mist that's sort of there, and it's sort of menacing, and it's like the war on terror,
you know, boogeyman.
Yeah, it's like this crouching lion, you know. It's like it's out there in the long grass somewhere, ready to punch. You know, they don't. It's never really identified, or it's very, you know, it's sort of ill identified, if that's a word, deliberately so, but. You know, it's always a threat, and this is basically through repetition. These morons never actually themselves think about, is there a white supremacy threat? It's just this assumption. So even then, when they talk about it, okay, we can start to see this obvious attacks on white people and the culture they produced in their countries, but often it's framed with, you know, this is going to exacerbate white supremacy. These people are stupid, because white people are lovely, good liberals, and they're so accepting and loving. But if they keep this stuff going, where they keep attacking white people, it's going to exacerbate this white supremacy problem. But, you know, I've noticed that there has been a shift, you know, with people like in that centrist right character sort of category over here. People like Douglas Murray and others, and, you know, there's a few of them starting to talk a little bit more like us. Who knows, maybe in 10 years from now, you know, it'll be acceptable to start looking at these Jewish groups. I don't know. I mean, you know, when people really start getting down into the actual proper substance of the type of organizations, if you just follow them, if you follow the obstacles, you will come up against these internationalist organizations, which are basically impeding us from controlling our own borders. And if you do any kind of research, 90%, probably more, of these groups that are responsible for causing us to sign up to certain legislations, and, you know, that prevent us from dealing with or controlling our own borders, you're gonna run into a lot of Jewish dominated groups, you know.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And as far as, well, overseas, since you bring that factor up, and how it, well, plays into the development in Ukraine, we're hearing Putin held a 3-hour meeting, you know, with the Wagner chief after this revolt happened. So Prigozhin, yeah, and Putin were having a discussion for 3 hours. And many are talking about this new gold standard that BRICS have going. And it's interesting how many countries, you know, 41 plus countries now are going to be part of this. And they said when this Ukraine war began, they would have said that it was just a ridiculous myth that they would start this. But yeah, you know, a gold standard currency that is an alternative to the U.S. hegemony. So I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you have to say on the developments over there?
Well, that'll take time to establish that because, you know, this whole sort of U.S.-based dollar system, you know, it wasn't established overnight and it won't be dismantled overnight, but it's on its way out. And, you know, Putin and China and Iran and some of these other big players are going to be, you know, Brazil. And as you say, you know, the big meeting in St. Petersburg, there was about 95 countries at that. So, you know, the more you have these countries getting organized and wanting to get off that dollar-based system, then, you know, the sooner that will happen. So that's where it's headed, I think, eventually. And then you've got the fact that through the provocation and aggression of NATO, they've actually caused the Russian army and the Russian military industrial complex to go into overdrive and their recruitment to go into overdrive. So now you've got this huge army in Russia with huge, vast amounts of artillery, missiles of all descriptions, you know, almost an endless supply there, and a huge recruitment drive in the Russian personnel, along with huge experience, you know, that they've developed through this war in Ukraine. And this is a formidable force now. Meanwhile, you have John Kirby admitting to a news reporter in the United States that we had to send them the cluster bombs because we don't have anything else to send them. We're out of artillery, and we just don't. At the rate the Ukrainians are using the artillery we're sending them, we've no alternative. Sort of, we're scraping the barrel now. We can give them cluster bombs. I mean, what sort of message does that send out to Russia? You know, do you really think Russia, when they hear these sorts of things, are going to be trembling at the thought of the U.S. coming in there? I mean, I don't think so. I mean, the reality is the United States doesn't have the industrial base that it used to do, and now it's not producing enough weapons, and whatever weapons they were producing, they've sent them all to Ukraine. Well, not all of them, but if you get to the point where you haven't to send them cluster bombs, which has raised eyebrows all over Europe, which are, you know, a lot of the U.S. allies are condemning this, but it's out of desperation, and John Kirby admitted it.
And absolutely, these are going to result in war crimes on civilian populations there. I mean,
yeah, carpet children bombing. Probably.
Yeah, I mean, when you have cluster bombs, you're basically carpet bombing indiscriminately, and you can't help but hit civilians. Yes, men, women, children.
It's not only that.
Enlisted.
Yeah. The big problem with them historically is, and, you know, there's evidence of this, that when the war is over, a lot of these cluster bombs fail to go off. There's a lot of them. So, you know, just say, for example, you had 100 of them going out in one thing and say, you know, only 80 of them go off. Well, then you've got 20 of them sitting around randomly. And so when the wars are over, and this has happened in the Middle East and some of these wars where cluster bombs are used, you have kids playing and these things look like balls. And out of curiosity, they go and start playing with them and stuff. So you've had kids who've been killed and maimed and other people who've just stood on them, you know, by accident and stuff like that, which is another reason why they're banned, because you've had fatalities and people with horrific injuries post-war, you know?
Of course, and now we have NATO pushing to have, well, they want a NATO-Ukraine council at the moment to try to solidify a future NATO membership for Ukraine to justify, you know, this escalating at some point, obviously. But NATO is agreeing right now to security guarantees, is the way they're phrasing it, for Ukraine. Biden was making a statement on that. Well, he stated before this NATO summit this upcoming week in Lithuania, the United States and several other countries as well are ready to provide security guarantees for Ukraine that is similar to the U.S.-Israeli framework, but that it will not be possible until the end of the war with Russia. And Biden further stated, when asked about possible NATO membership for Ukraine, it will not be happening in the near future. It will take some time due to Ukraine having to meet other steps before they are considered such a democratization and decisions regarding its occupied territories.
Yeah, so
a bunch of rhetoric.
So think about that. On one hand, they're saying we we can't allow Ukraine into NATO or the EU, you know, typically it's because they haven't met the sort of corruption index sort of standards. And like you say, there needs to be further work on the, quote, democratization of Ukraine. So if there's more work to be done on the democratization, we strongly suggest that there's some problems with democracy there. Yet the reason that your broke taxpayer in Europe and the United States is sending all this money to Ukraine and weapons to Ukraine is because we're defending democracy, apparently.
Subscribe to the Freedom Times monthly newspaper.
We'll be right back.
Published since 1985. That's right, 1985. The Freedom Times pulls no punches and observes no sacred cows or taboos. The perilous times we live in are too critical for anything but honest discussion of America's plight. The Freedom Times is the antidote to the lies and distortions of the fake news media. There's no better way to inform and enlighten Americans than by reading the Freedom Times each month. New subscribers may sign up at the special rate of just $29 for 1 year or $55 for 2 years. Subscribe online by going to AmericanFreedomNews.us or mail your subscription to The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. That's The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. Support America's best patriotic newspaper and one of the very few left by becoming a subscriber to The Freedom Times today.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
And so it begins. I'm Peter Serafin with another Liberty Minute. Representative Boebert's resolution to impeach President Biden did not get the privilege status that she was hoping for. Privilege status would have forced the House of Representatives to vote on the resolution. Instead, the impeachment was sent to committee. Technically, that means that the investigation has begun. But many bills and resolutions never come out of committee and effectively die. I don't understand why an investigation is needed. President Biden stood at a podium and told us that all of his constitutional advisors said the eviction moratorium during COVID was unconstitutional, but he was going to do it anyway. Like me, Biden is bound by an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And he openly admitted on camera that he was not going to do that. That alone should be enough to impeach any office holder at any level, regardless of party affiliation. If you own firearms, you need carry insurance. Get the most affordable carry insurance on the market, according to Pew Pew Tactical, and save 10% by using code WHITEHOUSE at protectwithbear.com. Until next time, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
Beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey with my Monday co-host, Paul Edward Stevenson. And so, yeah, well, we have this, set of security guarantees and a need for further democratization of Ukraine as the current talking points. And, we'll just see. I mean, some are suggesting this will just go on like Afghanistan for years, the Ukrainian situation. Paul.
Yeah, I don't see that happening because it's not in Russia's interests. And it's not in China's interest, because they've got their own sort of plans for that whole one belt, one road thing, and that involves Ukraine. And it would cause a sort of global, you know, problem trade-wise with China, and so there's going to be some pressure from China on Russia to get this whole thing sorted out. So that would probably suit Ukraine more, you know, where to some extent, you know, Zelensky can hold on to power there, and you can keep this pretense going of that Ukraine's still a functioning state. But the reality is, you know, if a situation like that continues, then who's filling the bill to keep Ukraine running? It's basically the United States and the West again. So we have now, you know, we're now responsible for Ukraine, not just their weapons and, you know, gear that we send them and money we send them, but to actually cause it to allow the country to function at all. I mean, already it's like that. So that would just keep going on for, you know, endlessly. I can't see that happening. And these security guarantees, the only security guarantees that Ukraine is going to have is by sitting down and talking and working out a deal with Putin and Russia, as far as I can tell, because I don't think NATO can guarantee them anything. There's too many fractures in it. I mean, even this recent stuff with the cluster bombs, you know, that's caused further division, you know. So this idea of a unified NATO thing, it's just pure propaganda. They have to keep saying and keep repeating it, but the reality is not—it's not the case, you know. So the whole thing's untenable.
Yes, I mean, well, it's already been a strain on Europe as far as the shifting away from Russian gas. There's a new deal, though, for U.S. to supply gas to portions of Europe, from what I've heard.
It's going to be a lot more expensive.
Yes, you know, it's only helping certain Western kosher bankers and, asset controllers as far as the fuel is concerned.
Yeah. And by the way, I just noticed earlier today, I spoke about this on my show on Saturday. There was a French church that was burnt down, a 15th or 16th century church, a real little gem of a church from, you know, French history and part of French heritage, was completely burnt down. And I saw earlier today there's another church set on fire as well. And this very much goes unreported in our media, but this has been a common theme in France now for about a decade. You know, the church has been burnt down, and yet it's covered to the max when someone burns a Quran. You know, not a mosque. Not two mosques, not a constant habit of burning mosques down, but burning churches down. You know, not a Bible, churches. And if you're in the Middle East and parts of Africa, humans who are Christians will be burnt and murdered. But the whole Muslim world is up in arms and literally and threatening when one of their sacred Qurans gets burnt, you know. But yes, another ancient church has been set on fire today, I see. So they're gonna. Why don't they, you know, protect the churches? But by the way, we shouldn't be too surprised by this. You know, whether it's a secondary problem with Antifa stroke Algerians stroke Muslims, North Africans who are doing it. This is very much part of the agenda of Judaism. Burn the churches, who hate Christianity with an absolute passion.
Well, yes. I mean, some things I'm hearing in correction from, assumedly corporate media sources. I have to question if they're just trying to change the narrative. Like, I mean, at one point I heard, though, a claim that the Algerian teenager didn't die, that he survived his injuries, and then I heard that I never heard again about that again, and kept hearing about the death. I have to wonder, perhaps that was the truth, but now they're sweeping that under the rug because it feeds the narrative better that he would have died. But the largest, from what I heard, the largest library in France was burnt significantly, with a lot of damage to ancient manuscripts, books, and what have you. And then I heard one person who had reported on that saying, oh, and I heard it was some other type of building, blah, blah, blah. And is that perhaps, you know, corrective reporting where, you know, it's just bad optics? Or do you, I don't know if you know if that really happened, that the library burned, Paul.
Well, it's been widely reported it's been happening from what I understand, yeah. So unless you're actually,
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my Monday co-host, Paul Edward Stevenson. And, well, just to try to fit in a bit of other news, we keep hearing, of course, the negative economic reports, so many factors converging simultaneously this time around, Paul. And many are currently talking about the property market, housing bubble, and what's going to happen with that. A commercial property market is certainly taking its toll currently, but as far as it not harming, I mean, everything the solutions they have always harm everyday people more, and those with the most wealth, with the riskiest investments get covered, you know, every time, pretty much. So yeah, as far as the, well, I mentioned the climate change green agenda earlier, and of course they blame everything on that. Although we can't help but wonder with these shots, the mRNA shots, different reactions out there. I mean, they're trying to blame an increase in kidney stones in young people on climate change, for example. So that's how absurd it is out there. Over in Peru, Guillain-Barré syndrome has spiked. They're declaring a state of emergency in Peru because of the spike in Guillain-Barré syndrome. And yet, even though, of course, it's not contagious, and no one's questioning, well, this, could this be from the mRNA experimental shots? Well,
yeah, and they're very, you know, in the usual hypocrisy, they're, you know, they're suddenly concerned about people's health. On one hand, they can blame it on climate change, and yet there's basically zero coverage in any kind of mainstream fashion about excess deaths as a result of these COVID shots. So, you know, even when they're looking, if anybody does look at excess deaths, they'll blame everything and everything except looking in the direction of those, you know, apparent vaccines. And so, yeah, doesn't surprise me, Richard, as usual. I mean, and you were mentioned earlier, you know, they always use these crises, you know, no matter what it is, you know, for their own benefit. I mean, Macron, for example, in France, has a, you know, his popularity is in the gutter, and the French obviously are well known for protesting, and for the most part, the French do protest, you know, zealously, but they don't result in the type of scenes that we've seen in France recently, where they're absolutely causing mayhem and destruction and desecrating ancient churches and shops and the center of Paris and everything else. But Macron's response to this now is he's banned protests, you know, as a result. So again, it adds weight to the fact that this is probably not as organic as it seems. You know, this was probably in some part orchestrated by other external forces. It was, you know, organized to cause this, and then the result is, oh, guess what, Macron, you know, has to bring an end to protests in France as a result of it. You know, isn't that convenient?
Unbelievable. And yes, as far as
sadly it's believable,
it really is, and more people are not having trouble believing us about these sort of reports. And always taking advantage, on that note, there was an economic headline out there. So the economy is about to crash. Jim Cramer predicts an economic wave will soon hit the U.S., and it will be fantastic for investors. So, you know, this is how these people always frame it. You know, play both sides and benefit from other people's misfortune, misery, and death, of course, in a case of the war. And really, what's messing with the science, really, the green agenda or these shots, for that matter. But as far as some pushback in the LGBT realm, over in the country of Georgia, a bunch of protesters stormed a pride exhibition, you know. And
yeah, I saw that, yeah.
So, yeah, it was canceled after the police failed to stop the protesters from disrupting the event.
Yeah, because they see it for what it is. You know, again, this whole LGBT thing, you know, it's an aggressive anti-white Western Christian culture, you know, foundational thing. It's not just, you know, as usual, it's not just about the rights of, you know, strange people with strange sexual orientation. This is all nonsense. This is, you know, again, an attack on the foundations of your country, its identity, its culture, its heritage, your religion. And a lot of them were, you know, citing religious reasons for their boycott of this whole LGBT thing. And they had to call it off. Good for them, you know. You know, some of the African countries, I meant to mention this as well. a while back, but I think one of the African countries has. It's quite funny if you saw my notepad. I've written it down, and then I've put a little smiley face on it, and it looks a bit childish, but it's. If you see my notepad with a note of this, it makes me laugh when I see it. But I'm trying to think which of the African countries, but they've actually brought I shouldn't laugh. They brought in the death penalty for this type of stuff being promoted. So again, you see, it's the white European nations who are indulging in this stuff and who are victims of it. But the Georgians are having none of it, and they attacked this march. And a lot of them, there was a lot of Christian. Crosses being waved and other sorts of, you know, I suppose they're part maybe of the wider Orthodox Church. I'm not sure in Serbia or whether they're part of the Catholic Church. I don't know. But anyway, that's good to see, you know, that people are recognizing this and taking action against it, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, Uganda. Uganda, they recently, earlier this year, passed strict anti-LGBTQ bill. And it was strict. I mean, I think it included the death penalty.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's good to know. Uganda.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, as I say, as I said on Saturday, we can't send our immigrants, our illegal immigrants across who risk their lives to come to the racist country of the UK. We can't send them to Rwanda because Rwanda apparently is not safe enough. So we've given the Rwanda government, I think, 150 million, you know, to get these people. I forget what it works out at. It works out at something like 27,000 per immigrant. You know, these are people, one minute they're not even in our country, and then the next minute we've paid a Rwandan government, which works out at some ridiculous level amount individually to house these people and to look after them and everything else. It's been deemed that Rwanda's not safe by our liberal progressive, you know, high court. And it just shows you that how racist, if you could call it that, or whatever, they are. Because they deem those backward Africans as just not being safe simply because of Rwanda. We couldn't possibly send them to that crap hole. But, you know, not all of Africa is uncivilized. You know, Rwanda apparently is a fairly decent place to live. And I was thinking, you know, Maybe I'll see if the United Kingdom, UK government will give me the 27,000. I'll go out to Rwanda for a couple of years.
There's probably less anti-white agendas there currently.
If they keep up this the immigration the way it's going, it'll be safer in Rwanda.
But no, when you hear about like just the average birth rate of the Arab households in France as opposed to the native white French households, it is staggering how quickly they're going to outnumber the native population.
We've gotten ourselves into a right mess, Richard, in every way, mate. We really have. I mean, it's tragic. It's tragic how much you can screw up a good situation in such a short period of time, but we've managed it right across, you know, the white European countries, all of them.
Unfortunately, yes, you're not exaggerating at all there. As far as the legislation, though, back to the LGBT thing briefly. Well, like Washington State over here, the governor has a law now allowing shelters and child care services to treat children with gender dysphoria without parental notification. So basically just housing them and keeping as much secret from the family as possible. I notice over there in Britain, they have a lot more punishment of parents. Domestic abuse is a severe crime. They're saying British parents could be prosecuted for refusing to pay for transgender treatments once they're propagandized in the schools, the children, that is.
Mm. Yeah, well, this country, I don't even want to live here anymore. It's not even safe to live here anymore. There was another guy recently, he was part of the Patriotic Alternative crowd. I'm not sure if I've met him or not. I remember seeing him on Telegram, and he's recently been in prison for 4 years. Now, I don't know exactly the content of what he posted, but it was apparently breached sort of terrorist laws. Now, they have significantly lowered the bar, lowered the threshold as to what constitutes and qualifies as terrorism, you know, and far right sort of, you know, white supremacy, that type of stuff. So I don't know how severe it is, but he was in Alicante in Spain. And they managed to, such was their zeal to get their hands on him, they managed to get him extradited from Spain back here to face the wrath of the British judicial system, and they locked him up for 4 years. Just be very careful here, because I really don't want to go to prison for these people, Richard. I really don't, you know. But I think the only way to be absolutely sure of it is to get out of the place and to somewhere. You know, I don't even know where you would go in Europe. You know, certainly Alicante's not an option. It's very dangerous over here now. But there is a right in this country in the population, but they're just not getting heard. But things like closing Nigel Farage's bank account and things like that, and the government are well aware of. They've got a big problem on their hands with this immigration thing, you know. So who knows what could happen?
Well, the countries I've heard pushing back the most against the immigration, the non-white immigration, and the LGBT conditioning are Poland and Hungary. So I would think those are the best options if someone were to try out living somewhere else for a bit. A couple more articles I wanted to just briefly mention. And I mentioned this the other day, but Dr. Peter McCullough has been doing studies on the COVID vaccine autopsies. And, of course, he's been having his uploads removed very quickly. But he's at least doing that work, if he's not as hard-hitting on this whole thing as some would like. And some of the points I've heard made. Genetically modified children is the new fear. Monsanto chemicals are permanently altering your child's genes is a new Mercola article. And they have a film called Genetically Modified Children going back to 2016. People might want to check that out. And what's your comment on this before we go to the calls, Paul? You know, Pope Francis, he met with Bill Clinton and Alex Soros at the Vatican. And remember, Alex Soros has been quoted recently saying that he's 100 times worse than his dad.
Yeah, well, you know, the Pope's he's a disgrace. He's, you know, bought and paid for by the internationalists or the globalists, or, you know, essentially Judaism has conquered the Vatican for the most part. So no surprise there. This guy's a complete counterfeit, you know, Pope. So, you know, it's like it's a sad thing. But even the Catholic Church, which is for all its faults, had a strong history of, you know, being resistant to Judaism, and that has fallen too, unfortunately.
Oh yeah, certainly has. Well, no, here, let's go to the calls. First, we have Daryl in Canada. Then we have Linda in New Jersey and Dan in Washington. Daryl.
Paul in New Jersey, can't wait to hear him. Yeah, who owns Monsanto, of course. And great discussion, guys. By the way, I'm really thoroughly enjoying. Paul, Nigel Farage just said just yesterday, I think, or today, he says something very similar to you, that he concluded that life in the UK is slowly becoming unlivable. I have a suggestion for him, man. I'll call you on Saturday. I got a place that sounds pretty good, maybe for you and Nigel to move on. I'll call you on Saturday, Paul. You know, NATO, even mentioning Ukraine joining NATO is just ridiculous. I mean, it's just an amazing, isn't it amazing? It's absolutely amazing that the West talks like right past Russia. It's like Russia doesn't exist. Doesn't matter what they think even exists, let alone existing at all. Isn't that an interesting phenomenon, Paul? There's an enemy over there, but it's like a blank. They don't care what they think about.
Well, yeah, and essentially what they've done over decades, which is, and you know, part of it was obviously through the Cold War and the Soviet Union, but it's essentially been a dehumanization operation of the Russians. There's a horrible hatred of Russians in this country, a deep distrust that these people are, like I say, they're like subhumans or something. And so, yeah, it's they don't consider the fact that this war, in no small part, was started because of Russia for years asking for, you know, security guarantees, and that simply that Ukraine would remain neutral. and not join NATO. And a year and a half into this war, they're still talking about Ukraine joining NATO. So, you know, well, what are the Russians to do? Like you say, I mean, these people just don't consider the Russians. They're not humans, you see. And so why would you consider they're just branded as evil, and there's no discussion about it. Over there, once you get over that Ukrainian border into Russia, you're just entering, you know, essentially a bunch of non-humans.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about a declaration of war, there's one, if they would even, you know, really get close to putting NATO in Ukraine and NATO. One last thing I'll say, Biden, one of the most truthful things he said was the other day with, what was his name, Zakaria from CNN or something, he said that they're running out of 150-millimeter shells, 55-millimeter shells or something like that. It was about the most truthful statement he made. Although, I've heard nobody talk about this. I'm going to be maybe the first one. In the last couple days, the West, especially the United States, was saying, well, we're sending the Ukraine cluster bombs because the Russians are using cluster bombs. No, they're not. I mean, Paul or Richard, have you heard anything that the other side, like the Russians, have you seen any videos of these things exploding over a football field and stuff? There are no cluster bombs being used by the Russians. They don't need it, by the way. Yet there's another lie from the West saying the Russians are using cluster bombs, so we have to. That's just incredibly, it's totally false. Thank you very much.
Yeah, they've been lying from the start, and like you say, there's no evidence that the Russians have been or even need to be using cluster bombs. Like Biden admitted they have to use these because they're desperate. The Russians aren't desperate.
Well, thank you for that, Daryl, and thanks, Julie, for skipping the break to try to fit in the other callers. It's actually Linda in New Jersey, Daryl, but you know, thank you. Let's go to Linda.
Hello, Richard. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, I can.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yesterday, I was talking to a woman from Russia, and I asked her what she thought of Putin, and she said she thinks he's crazy. And I said, well, do you think he's a communist? She said, I think he's mafia. And I thought that was interesting because I've heard that Putin was Henry Kissinger selected Putin. Henry Kissinger representing Rothschild and the international banking cartel. And they all work for them one way or another, Xi and Bibi and Iran. But anyway, so that he's actually was picked by Kissinger out of the St. Petersburg mafia. And that's all. So what do you think of that? Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Paul?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we've heard all these types of things before. You know, even if that was true, Kissinger would have picked him for different reasons from what Putin went on to do. The reality is Putin basically took that country from when it was absolutely on its knees, has been raped and pillaged by Western oligarchs and other oligarchs within Russia that were
hurt.
Let me finish.
Putin is world economic.
All
right, I'm not going to answer the question.
I think he has high enough rank.
Okay, that doesn't matter because she got her mind made up. Putin bad. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. There's no nuance, no context to when people talk. It's just Putin bad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, no, let's just...
that simple. But people don't want to... You know, people get very comfortable with a simple answer to everything. You know, with everything, there cannot be any uncertainty. There cannot be any sort of complexity to things. People need to feel, I can go to bed at night. Putin's a bad guy. This guy's a good guy. This guy's a bad guy. And there's never any nuance. You know, it's to have any nuance, it causes people to be uncomfortable. It's like children like to be uncomfortable. Parents like to give children certainty. When you become an adult, you learn to live with uncertainty and to not know everything. And to realize there is nuance, and it's not as black and white as we would love things to be.
And we've heard both sides to this argument. Looks like we've lost Dan. We should have gotten to him sooner. I don't know if he lost his signal or if he just ran out of time and had to tend to something there. But I was about to try to bring him on here. But I might as well comment then now that, we've heard both sides of the argument. I mean, some suggest a lot of the Jewish oligarchs, banking oligarchs who were thrown out by Putin are now in Ukraine influencing Zelensky, and they'd like to get back into Russia and dethrone him.
I'm not even going to deny that Putin's a bit of a gangster. You cannot run a country like Russia or any country really with any real influence without being somewhat of a gangster. I mean, don't you think our leaders are gangsters? They're just bigger gangsters. They're bigger gangsters than Putin. I mean, this is what Al Capone said.
Absolutely. I mean, many claim, of course. Well, I mean, look how much Trump did for Israel when he was in office, and we hear about the Chabad Lubavitch ties. Dan is back. Dan in Washington. Dan, what's on your mind?
Hey, I called with kind of a question about British society with Paul, but real quick, the caller before.
Do you have to?
Mark Dankoff had a movie about Alexander Dugin. It's called The Wolf in the Moonlight. It's on Tubi. So I was just to suggest the previous caller, a lot of these guys tell you what they're doing. They're not as dishonest as the West. So I would watch The Wolf in the Moonlight. That will introduce you to Dugin. And then go on RT.
I can't say I'm a fan of Dugin or endorse him myself. I mean, he seems to.
All right, hold on. Can you listen to my point?
Yeah. Sure, go ahead.
And go on to RT News, and you can. There's a show called Interview where you can hear Medvedev, interview with Medvedev. So just start listening to what these guys are saying instead of.
I think people should listen to Dugin.
And actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. If it wasn't for Russia, Syria would have been destroyed. I mean, and if this BRIC system is communism, call me communist. I mean, I think the BRIC thing is a way out of the Rothschild domination. But
let's hear Paul's response to that, Dan.
To what?
If BRICS is communist, call me communist, he said.
Exactly. I mean, people still hold on to this idea that they're, Russia's communist and the Soviet Union is it's still the Soviet Union. It's not the Soviet Union. I mean, even if you hate the place, even if you hate Putin, even if you hate everything about the place, it's still not the Soviet Union. It's not a communist country in the way that it once was. I mean, it probably has some communist elements to it, but nothing compared to the Soviet Union. I mean,
Sure. And Dan, anything else?
Well, I had not much time, but is British society more snotty? I had a friend from Norway, and he said, he didn't like England because he said there's such a big gap between the classes. Like he said, in Norway, there's one word for everybody. I got cut off there.
Yeah, there is. Anyway, there is that class gap here. Yeah, quite significantly. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, interesting. We'll have to touch on that again. Sorry, Dan. Well, we'll bring you on earlier. We'll talk again soon. All right. Well, thank you, Paul, as always. And, yeah, look forward to your show this Saturday.
That's thank you, Richard.
10 a.m. Central on RBN. And that's 4 GMT over in the U.K. All right. Well, folks, please support the station. Keep all this free speech possible. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on that donate page, and we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle